This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
It is time for Walker Talkers, the White Dragon Podcast Network review show for the hit AMC drama series, The Walking Dead. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined by the mother dick himself, Dennis Pelicano.
That was not cool at all.
That was awesome. It was just as cool when I said it as when Abraham said it.
No, it really wasn't.
This is your weekly guide to the zombie apocalypse world of The Walking Dead, where we're going to dive deep in depth on each and every episode of TV's number one show. So without any further ado, let's get our dead on. Denny!
What do you want?
I want to talk about The Walking Dead, like we do every Friday morning.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah?
Now you upset me.
Now I've upset you. I've offended your delicate nature.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I'd like to say I apologize for that, but I don't.
Okay.
All right, folks. So this week we are talking about Season 5, Episode 14, entitled Spend, directed by Jennifer Lynch and written by Matthew Negrete. The air date was March 15th, 2015, and the official synopsis from the AMC website, AMC.com. While trying to secure their new home, Rick and his group face many challenges, some life-threatening. Is this really the utopia it seems to be? All right, so you want to just give, like... So before we get started, there's just one thing I want to say.
I know you're going to say.
He's gone! He's finally gone! Oh, happy day. I had, like... You know, I literally, like ran around in a circle. I was so happy.
Well, he's not really gone. He's going to be another future episode.
No, he's gone. He's gone.
I'm going to bring him over to your birthday party. I'm going to have him, you know, like dress up as a clown or something.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Fantastic. So yeah, this was a very bloody gore. I mean, like if last week nothing happened, this week, oh my god.
Yeah, this episode was very intense. I
yes,
loved it.
Very, very intense. So, folks, let's start off with the person who had the least amount to do this week, and that would be Rick.
Yeah, I don't even remember him being in the episode.
Barely. He had barely in it at all.
Uh-huh.
So Rick just happens to be patrolling by Jesse's house. Do you think he just happened to be there, or do you think he just circles that house like a hawk all day?
No, I don't think he does. I think he does his job that he's supposed to. I mean, come on, you know, it's Rick. That's what he does. But I think if anything, in the beginning, I will admit that I thought that she's the one that broke the owl statue on purpose so Rick can be there.
Yeah,
you know?
But you know what? Like, when Rick was like, well, I'll find who did this, she was like, it's just an owl, Rick. Like, you know, he's giving his whole broken window theory. Keep windows intact, you keep society intact. It's like, well, I think she kind of saw through it.
Well, I think because he did that, in my personal opinion, is because he wanted to beat the living crap out of her husband. So
yeah.
He was hoping that it was him that did it.
I'm just looking for a reason.
Isn't that weird, though, how Rick wants to be friends? Like, I mean, how Jesse's husband, what's his name? Do you remember?
Pete?
Yeah, that's right. So Pete, how he, like, walked over to him and, like, how they have to be friends. He's like, yeah, we just have to be friends and all this stuff. And just, like, the look on Rick's face was just, like, F off.
Yeah, the weirdest conversation ever when drunken Dr. Pete walks in. He showed up at Rick's house drunk as a skunk. And, but before we get to that, I think Rick is a little bit bored as the constable.
Yeah.
He's just like walking around, just like, I got nothing to do. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, I think that he's going to want to make stuff happen for them just so they have something to do. I mean, they're bored.
Just like find crime. Just start harassing teenagers. So the first thing Pete says to Rick when he talks about the Deanna's party, he goes, I saw you. And you think he means, I saw you kiss my wife. But what he actually means is, yeah, you had a couple drinks.
Yeah,
or is that what he meant? Do you think it's all just like veiled, or do you think he's just clueless?
I think he's clueless. I mean, he's freaking drunk.
He's a drunken, abusive man. So
yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting how he brought up Lori. Like, I heard you lost your wife. Like, just kind of hammering it in. It's like, feel guilty that by reminding you of your wife.
Well, I think he was doing it on purpose, too, to basically say, stay away from mine.
Yes, most definitely. That was definitely, though, because even if he didn't see them kiss, he definitely knows there's some initial attraction there. And clearly, if he's knocking the crap out of his wife every day, he knows that she wants to leave.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You could almost hear the veiled threats behind every single word he spoke.
Who, Rick or...
Pete,
yeah.
Yeah. Rick wasn't really threatening him. Rick was just kind of like having the conversation, clearly just wanted him out of his house. I even saw, like, I mean, how ridiculous is it when a drunken doctor's like, you gotta bring your kids in for a checkup, man.
Yeah, well, that whole thing, that's why, I mean, you probably don't want to tap into this now, but the whole thing with the Carol exchange, like, towards the end.
Yeah.
I'm just like, they can't do that. You
they
know, because...
They can't do what? Like...
Like, kill the doctor.
Yeah. But
he's a drunk, no. He's abusive, and it's just, you get to the point of saying, you're gonna kill the only guy that could potentially help out, like, the whole entire, like, Alexandrians.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you, and we'll get to that in a second, but the last thing I want to touch on with Rick is that he's still wearing his wedding ring.
Yeah, but didn't he take it off towards the end, or he was just playing with it?
He played with it, he, like, grabbed it and, like, twirled it a little bit. He didn't actually take it off.
Yeah, well, he should.
Yeah, it's the last remembrance of Lori. So, so Carol. Now, if you're Sam, okay, and a mean, scary lady threatened to feed you to monsters, the last thing I want to do is go sneak into that woman's house.
Yeah, but I think that Sam just also thinks that he likes that in her because he could tell that by her doing that, she has no fear of anything.
Yeah.
Therefore, he wanted to go to someone that maybe is cuckoo, cuckoo.
Uh-huh.
So this way he could just be like, listen, like, here you go, little boy. Here's a gun. You say you wanted it. Go ahead, take it. I don't care. So I think Sam had that mentality going.
He went there with a plan to get a gun?
Yeah.
Quite possibly. I mean, like, at first I got annoyed because she finds him and he's just like, can I have more cookies? And I'm like, really, kid? Really? And but then by the end of it, you realize that, you know, it's not about cookies.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not just about cookies.
That's why I think it was a semi-smart idea for her to play that whole thing up again and then kind of semi-crack a little bit.
Yeah.
And then kind of felt bad for Sam, and then Sam knew he could take advantage of that, and he did.
I love when Sam starts talking about all his, like, little problems, and she's like, none of these are problems, Sam.
Yeah.
Shut up, little boy,
backhand to the face.
Well, that's the thing. He really wants to be her friend, you could tell. And she is very clearly looking into the innocent young face of this kid, of this Sam, and all she sees are Sophia, Lizzie, and Mika.
Yep.
I mean, Carol has got some issues when it comes to kids. You know, her daughter was lost and turned. You know, her two surrogate daughters, one killed the other, and then she had to kill the remaining one. Like, it was just, it's not a good, place in her mind when it comes to children.
For how Carol is, I need your opinion. Do you think that she's going to change?
What do you mean? Like become, change in what way?
Like, not be so blunt and, all right, you did this, we got to kill you.
No, I think that this is how she is. I don't think that's going to change.
You think so? No, like, therapy or anything?
No, but you know what? That kind of annoys me, too, though.
What?
Like, her, the way she is. Like, the whole, like, when she gets to the whole, like, well, Rick, instead of going and having a strongly worded conversation with the man, you just have to kill him. Like, in what universe does that work?
Yep. Well, they got that mentality, unfortunately, because for what they've been through, you know, and she just point blank had to have Lizzie look at the flowers, and that was
it. Yeah, but then when she's making him the cookies, and Sam keeps trying to talk, she goes, "Sam, we're not talking." Like,
yeah.
AKA, I'm not going to be your friend. I don't want to get close to you. This is not going to happen. But then Sam had the greatest line when he goes, "We don't have to be friends, but we don't have to be quiet."
Oh yeah, that's right.
Like, it was just such like a simple line. And we learn a little bit about Carol in this episode. We learn that when she was taking the back of Ed's hand every other day, cooking was her safety net. It was how she, like, you know, managed to unwind.
Yeah, to calm down and all that.
Right. So we learn Carol cooked and Sam breaks stuff. I mean, better that he breaks, you know, owl statues instead of, you know, like, small cats.
Ah, I didn't catch up on that. All right, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. That makes sense.
No, I mean, like, that's got to be reminiscent of Lizzie to her. break stuff. She broke animals. But, I mean, clearly he's a little bit more, well, not just a little bit, he's a lot more grounded than Lizzie was.
Was that the same episode? I think it was when he said, you know, go get, she said to him, go get the chocolate bars and then we'll, I'll make you cookies.
That was this episode.
Right. Yeah, it was this episode. Okay. I couldn't remember. It was the same
thing. He had to steal one for the cookies and one for Carol.
Yeah. Why does she want them? Because remember, she also stole a chocolate bar when she went into the,
yeah, she's just stockpiling chocolate.
You think that's what it is? It's weird.
I think she just likes chocolate and wants to have it. Either that or she's building some kind of zombie-killing chocolate-powered ray gun.
Or she could be using them to, like, lure, like, a zombie somewhere, you know, put them on the ground and then have them, like they do in, like, cartoons and stuff.
Yeah. So we learn that Pete is clearly abusive, and Carol is obviously going to rush to this defense because of her history.
Yep. That's why I think she wants to get him killed so quickly, because she feels like, oh, well, just get rid of him.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, do you think that that's why she has the strong reaction of, Rick, you have to kill this guy?
Yeah.
Because of her own personal history?
I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that she should kill him, because she didn't get the chance to kill Ed. Didn't Shane beat the living crap out of him?
No, Shane beat the living crap out of him, but then he got eaten by walkers.
Oh, that's right, because
he was laying in the tent. And walkers came through the tent. That was when the camp got overrun by that herd.
Yes. Okay, I remember now.
Do you think Carol, I mean, this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but do you think Carol's reaction to this and what she wants to have done, does it prove Gabriel right for what happens in the end when Gabriel cuts the whole speech about how they're the devil? He says they're not good people, and to resort to murder because of something like this is definitely the proof of not being a good person.
People are probably going to hate me for this, but I agree with Gabriel. I really do on the whole thing that he said, because of what he's seen them do. But that's the problem, too. Gabriel doesn't understand their background. He wasn't with them the whole time, what they had to go through, what Maggie had to go through, what right. Carol had to go through, and killing humans for certain reasons. He doesn't know that.
Yeah, and we'll get to Gabriel, but it's like, do you think this crosses a line for Carol? Do you think now she's just so clinical and matter of fact about murder? Like, do you think she's crossed a line with this, or do you think it would be like, hey, this guy's stealing something? Do you think it's like maybe we should kill him, or do you think it's a matter of it's just because it's abuse that it's happening?
Well, I think that she should cut back a little bit now that they're inside of the walls and. Quote-unquote safe zone.
Yeah.
I personally think that she better calm down with that. Like, oh, did something bad, kill him.
Yeah, I mean, you're not in the Wild West anymore.
Exactly.
You're in society again.
Yeah, and you're gonna have to make friends, and you have to most likely probably work with them in the future. Who knows what's going to happen? So stop being so, like, stubborn and just, like, you know,
right.
Swallow your pride and just understand who they are and just have them help out, you know?
Ready to move on to Abraham?
Oh yeah, Mother Dick.
Abraham had the coolest arc this episode, I think. Like, it was just that you literally fist pumped to Abraham in this episode.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
He's going to be the new leader of the construction crew. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
My buddy Nicole wants to know, are you Dolphin Smooth?
What?
Dolphin Smooth.
What does that mean?
He said it in the episode.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he said that your Mother Dick and something about being Dolphin Smooth.
Dolphin Smooth. Well, dolphins are smooth.
Yeah. So I was just curious if you were.
Yes.
Okay. Let her know that.
Okay. Yeah, please do.
She wanted me to ask you.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. So, Abraham, from soldier to construction worker, now he's working for Tobin. You notice he's hearing the sounds of walkers and gunshots in his mind, kind of similar to how Sasha was hearing it last week?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Do you think he's got some trouble disconnecting? Like, he has trouble giving up the fight?
No, because I think that this time around there actually was zombies that attacked. So I think that he was sitting there just getting amped up, like just hearing the zombies. He was like, oh, I hear zombies.
No, but that was all in his head. He didn't hear them.
No, well, why did he turn around right after he got that and then they just came
out
of the bushes?
Because the guy that went to go send a fax to Cleveland was screaming.
Because that's right.
He popped
a
squat and the zombies came out of nowhere. He was hearing the sounds of gunfire and zombies in his head. It's just, it's clear, it's the soldier at peacetime. You know, it's, you know, Batman hangs up the cowl but still wants to go out and beat up criminals.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's what you're getting there. And did you notice when the walkers all came out, it was a big thing of them. The Alexandrians are lousy shots.
Oh, they're horrible. They kind of remind me of stormtroopers.
Yep. And then Tobin's misplaced shot nearly kills Francine when it dumps her out of the construction equipment right into the pit of the walkers. And he's ready to. They're always the Alexandrians are always very quick to leave people behind.
Yeah, they don't care about them. But do you think that they're taking the shots to try to scare them away because they don't really know them? Or do you think that they are really horrible shots?
I think they're just really bad shots. They're construction workers. They're not soldiers. But now here's my question. The shot that takes down Francine, that puts Francine into the walkers, that was a pretty, like, that wasn't anywhere near any of the walkers. Do you think he did that on purpose?
Yeah.
You do.
Put him out of misery, yeah. Because then you think about the whole background that happened with Aiden and Nicholas when they go out there. I have a feeling that I still have a feeling that that zombie was him, was their friend that got killed, and that's right. Why they couldn't let him go.
Hmm.
So I have a feeling when they get into some kind of, maybe Deanna said that, listen, if any of these people, something happens to them, just kill them and just keep going. Don't worry about them. We'll just replace them.
So they're all ready to leave her behind until Abraham... he heroes up and saves the day. It's like that leave no soldier behind mentality. And, you know, and this, he gets this smile on his face. His mother dick.
Like, yeah, it was great.
Like, he was just he was happy to be back in the fight. It's kind of like what he said to Michonne. Remember when he said to Michonne last week when he was drunk? When he was like, live by it, die by it, and pray to God you don't have to use it, and pray to God that you never forget how to use it.
Yeah.
You could tell he was talking about himself, too, when he was talking to Michonne here, because he was so ready to jump back into a fight.
Yeah, that was his moment right there.
Yeah. And, you know, the Alexandrians were beyond impressed. It was like, again, it's like watching, Spider-Man. It was watching Batman. It was like watching a real-life superhero jump into the fray and just start, like, because he got in there with his gun, with that club, and he single-handedly saved that girl and fought off an entire horde by himself.
Yeah. And I also want to tap on something. I want to say congratulations on James and Eric from the Walker Stalkers to finally be in an episode.
They were in this episode?
They were the two zombies that you saw crawling underneath the tractor. And
wow,
then Abraham
good for
shoots
them
both. They've been trying to get on the show since 2012.
Wow. Good for James and Eric. That's great.
Yep. And the best part of it, I was listening to their podcast the other day, and they were saying Abraham is actually on the show, and Abraham was saying, he's like, Michael Cudlitz, he's like, dude, I had no clue it was you guys until after the show was filmed. So I thought that was pretty cool. He had no clue. So that was
so
a pretty
funny
neat little thing. So congratulations, guys.
Yeah, congratulations, guys. So the Alexandrians start covering him. Like when Tobin is still trying to order the retreat, and the one guy starts covering Abraham, he's like, what are you doing? And he's just like, he's alive. I'm making sure he stays that way. And they all just flock to Abraham.
Yep.
He immediately took control of them. And then, like, afterwards, he's just like, all right, little Tobin's like, let's just pack it up. And Abraham's like, we still got 3 hours of daylight.
Yeah.
And then he just starts taking control. He starts barking out orders. He's, you know, he turns. I see the construction workers kind of becoming Abraham's new army.
Well, you could tell they're trying to overrun this place with their knowledge of what they know, you know.
Well, yeah, and then Tobin, and this is why I wonder if he's a good guy or if this was all some kind of elaborate plan. Maybe that's just because I'm thinking a little too hard. But he abdicates immediately. And do you think it was sincere?
No.
I just love when he says to Deanna, he's like, he's leading them. He was shocked.
I just think he's just trying, like, I don't know. He probably is sick and tired of being out there. You know what I mean? Just doing the same crap over and over and have to worry about this shit. And now they have someone that has full capability of experience, construction, and being a leader.
Right. And then, you know, Deanna, when he tells Deanna that he wants Abraham to take over the construction workers, she seems like she's starting to become a bit afraid and a bit threatened by Rick's group in this scene.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, she says to Maggie, she's like, another one of your people in a position of power.
Yep, but I think she is, too.
But then Maggie fires back with, well, you wanted a future, and you need us for that. And Maggie's right. Maggie's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And that whole, like, the whole twist towards the end, which I know you want to talk about later,
yeah,
that kind of throws a whole wrench in the mix.
It does. Well, because if she's already feeling it, then Father Gabriel does nothing more than throw gasoline onto the fire. But before that, it's time to take a quick commercial break. We will be right back with more Walker Talkers after these words from the White Dragon Podcast Network. Hey there, folks. This is Kevin Kessler, the owner and founder of the White Dragon Podcast Network. I'm sorry to interrupt the show you're listening to right now, but I wanted to take a very brief moment to tell you all about the other great shows found here on WDPN. The show you're listening to right now is one of 9 all-star podcasts designed to delight and entertain you all week long. Start your Mondays off with Mousellaneous Discussions, an in-depth Disney talk show focusing on a unique topic each week having to do with the Walt Disney Company. Every Tuesday is Two Men Tuesdays on WDPN with Two Men and the Mouse, a Walt Disney World podcast focusing on all the latest news and goings-on in the most magical place on Earth. On Wednesdays, we dive into the world of sports entertainment with Ring Ropes Radio, the pro wrestling podcast of WDPN. Thursdays allow you to get your game on with Boss Fight, a video game review show that dissects a new game each episode. Fridays are all about TV on WDPN. First, we have the Geek Watchtower, which reviews all the things that geeks watch, including, but not limited to, Arrow, The Flash, Doctor Who, Once Upon a Time, and so much more. And rounding out this Friday double whammy is Walker Talkers, the review show for the hit AMC drama series The Walking Dead, providing an in-depth analysis on every single episode of television's number one show. The weekends aren't forgotten, though. Kick back and enjoy your weekend with Bat Squad Radio, the pop culture power hour. Come along on a ride with the Bat Squad as they give you a view of the world of pop culture through geek-colored glasses. Those are just the shows produced by the network. We also have 2 all-star affiliate programs produced by outside talent. The Groom Pod by Susie the Groomer teaches you everything you need to know about the care and upkeep of the furry friend in your life. An actively distracted dialogue is a rip-roaring good time as Mikey Weisenhunt and his buddies humorously examine the world of modern popular culture. That's everything we have for now. For more information on these great shows, go to www.whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. WDPN is also actively seeking additional affiliate shows for the network. If you have an awesome new idea for a podcast you'd like to have featured on the White Dragon Podcast Network, just send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. Well, that about does it. Back to the show. Enjoy it, and thank you for listening to the White Dragon Podcast Network. Hey, folks, Kev here with some news about how you, the listener, can help out your favorite podcast network. And by that, I mean the White Dragon Podcast Network. I hope I didn't need explaining. Are you an online shopper? Chances are the answer to that is yes. Well, if you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon.com and would like a cost-free way to support your favorite free podcasts, then head over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon banner at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. You don't pay a penny extra, and the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage of what you buy. If you're looking to support the network in a more direct manner, you can go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/sponsor and make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the server, website, and network in general. No amount is too small, and all donations will be recognized on Two Men and the Mouse, Mousellaneous, and Bat Squad Radio. Thank you so much. It's through the support of dedicated listeners like you that these shows remain on the air and free for everyone. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for your continued attention and for your support of the White Dragon Podcast Network. And we're back, folks. Welcome back to Walker Talkers. Kevin and Denny here bringing you all the goings-on in the Walking Dead zombie apocalypse universe. Thank you for sticking with us here, folks. And it is time to dive back in, Denny. Let's talk a little bit about Eugene and Tara. Let me tell you something. Eugene started this episode off, and when he has this conversation with Tara before they leave, or maybe it was like while they were there, I turned to my wife and I was like, well, Eugene's in my bottom three this week.
Why?
Because of the conversation they have in the beginning. But I will say, Eugene turns it around, and he goes from zero to hero in this episode. I mean, wow, this was such a great episode for Eugene.
Oh yeah, no, I love Eugene's my buddy. I talk to him every once in a while on Facebook. He's funny as all.
How about you get him on the show?
What?
How about you get him on the show?
Don't worry about it.
All right, if he's your buddy, I'm just saying, then he should be happy to come on the show.
Well, we're talking.
All right. So Eugene does not want to go on this run, and he does not want a gun, and he does not want to be in danger. But the group now that his deception has been unveiled, the group is having none of him being a puss anymore. So, but it's funny because he still wants to be protected. In the beginning of this episode, he still wants to be protected the way he was when he convinced them all that he could cure the apocalypse.
Oh, he's got to take that shit away, because there's no way that he can, you know, always be protected. And he's not always out, because I bet you he was also upset that Abraham, because now think about it, they're all going to get split up doing their own thing. So Abraham couldn't be with them. He had to do his own thing. That's why they all have all these little jobs that they got to do, you know?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Eugene, the thing that almost got him in the bottom three was when he tried to take credit for getting them to Washington with his deception. And Tara responds with, like, "We got you here," and I think the concept of him justifying his deception was just awful from the beginning. If you think about it, since Abraham knocked his block off after finding out that he wasn't a scientist, we have not really gotten to talk to Eugene at all.
Yeah, he's like always quiet and blonde.
He just hasn't been the focal point of an episode. This was kind of the first time he's been in the forefront since that episode. Tara calls him a coward, and he doesn't deny it. He's just kind of like, well, yep, coward is as coward does.
And that's probably how he's been surviving.
But that was, now looking back, I mean, that was a excellent foreshadow.
Oh, yeah.
He's come a long way from the guy that saw a big, beefy, ginger soldier on the street and was just like, hey, I'm a scientist. I can cure this disease if you just protect me.
And it worked ever since.
Yes,
you know?
It did.
But now it's not, I don't think it's going to be lasting that much longer.
No.
No, not at all.
But then when Tara is wounded, it's put up or shut up time for Eugene. You see it in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's life is in the balance. And, you know, at that point, Eugene can't even handle one walker.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do. That's why I think it's stupid that they should have just taught him how to fight instead of, I guess because Abraham wanted to be so protective, because if he dies, he figured, oh, well, you know, none of this would happen.
Right, and at this point, I think he thought he could just stay with Tara's body, and then Glenn would come in and take the body and protect them like Glenn does. But when it was clear that Glenn was not coming, and he's cutting the, you know, oh, you should have listened to me, to Tara's unconscious body, you know, we see this transformation, and the actor, he did a brilliant job with it. Because you just see his face just kind of change, where you see the conversation internally where Eugene's just like, oh my gosh, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, but I don't want her to die. And I have to do something to stop that. I saw that in his face, I saw it in his eyes, and I was so behind him someone's life is in the balance here, and he faces his fear. He's terrified, and you can see in his face he's terrified, but he is gritting through it and carrying her to safety. It was absolutely tremendous.
I wonder if that door that was open, if that was always like that and he just happened to spot it. I mean, they could have all just ran out of there.
What do you mean?
Like right when, like, oh, well, I guess because of Aiden.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And then he takes, and then even further than that, he takes the van and he draws the walkers away from Glenn.
Yeah, that was really cool. I was very surprised that he, you know, did that or whatever.
Yeah, and if Weasel Face, whose name escapes me right now.
Weasel Face?
Yeah, that's what I call him. I call him the other Alexandrian guy. I call him Weasel Face. If Weasel Face is, I don't want to know his name. He's Weasel Face. If Weasel Face had just, not screwed them over, then Eugene's plan would have worked really well.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But then, I got to say, I am so supremely proud of Eugene, because when Weasel Face comes over and tries to take him out of the van, he tries to stand his ground against him.
Well, it's funny when he gets out and he tries to take his gun and shoot him or whatever, and he just couldn't. He just drops the gun.
Yeah. It was a bold try. That's what I wrote. I wrote in my notes, bold try. Bold try.
Yeah, definitely was.
So you ready for the biggie of the episode, Glenn and Noah?
Yeah, I just want to tap on something. I have a question for you.
Sure.
When Aiden was getting into the car, okay? Well, that's another thing. What?
Are you about to talk about the music? Because I do have a note on that.
Yeah, I was, actually.
Yeah.
Well, when he gets into the truck, they start playing some really like loud metal music. Besides the fact of being stupid and going out in there with the zombie herds and everything and making loud-ass music, I mean, that's the dumbest thing ever. But I wanted to say that the music was like something about, you're going to die.
A voice comes on and says, now you're going to die.
Yeah, so I'm just like, really? So obviously it was some kind of foreshadowing.
Oh, totally. And the second that came on, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and then you just knew someone was going to die. You just didn't know who. Yeah, that was cool, too. I like that stuff.
Yeah. So, Noah wants to be an architect. What do we think about that? Or wanted to be an architect with his meeting with Reg, his early morning meeting with Reg.
The reason why I think he wanted to help build the walls and be an architect because of what happened to his hometown. It got ran down. He lost everything, everyone.
Those walls got beaten in.
What?
those walls got beaten in.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that he wants to help build them and make them stronger so that it doesn't happen to him, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And, yeah, I think he is happy here, and he wants it to stay safe because of that.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, you know, Reg showed that he doesn't really understand how the apocalypse works. I don't know if he was joking or if he was serious, but when Noah's like, well, what about when I'm your age? And Reg is like, I'll still be here when you're my age.
Will you take some kind of special potion?
No, I think he's being like, I'll just be an old man, you know?
Yeah, well, but he doesn't get it.
No, because they never lived out there. They don't understand how quickly it can end, which, you know, Noah finds that out real quick.
Yeah, right.
But I like when Reg says to Noah, you're in it for the long haul. That's, you know, like he seems to like that. And did you notice that the heat between Aiden and Glenn seemed to have been gone this episode?
Yeah, no, I did notice that. I had a question about that. When he was like, you know, he shot the, I don't know if you're going to talk about this later, but when he shot the zombie and then Glenn was like, no, and he shoots the grenade and everything blows up or whatever, Aiden gets thrown to the back and gets impaled by those two pieces of metal. He was talking to him. Do you remember when he said it wasn't them, it was us?
Yeah.
What do you think Aiden meant by that?
Well, it's clear what he meant by that.
That's lines of what?
He's saying that, you know, he said that in the last episode that the people that were in his group that got killed, they went against what he said to do, and they got killed because of it. It actually wasn't their fault. It was him and Weaselface's fault, and they left them to the zombies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all what right. He meant.
So maybe I was looking too into it then.
You were.
I thought it was like something totally different.
So, yeah, the thing that showed me that he likes Glenn more now is when, you know, Deanna's like double-checking everything with him before they leave, and he's like, oh, Glenn made a checklist. We're fine. Like, he's trusting Glenn. Like, it's far cry from you guys aren't ready to be out on runs yet.
Well, you do know that now that Glenn is probably going to be taking Aiden's spot
in that
regards.
Of course he is. Another position of power for one of Rick's group.
Yep.
And, you know, Maggie and Glenn had this moment before they left where Maggie says, you got this, you always do. I was like, ooh, kiss of death. I've been feeling, like, anytime Maggie and Glenn have a tender moment, I feel like it's only a matter of time before one of them gets ripped apart by something.
When Reg gives him the book?
Yeah, when Reg gives Noah the book, I mean, that was like a passing of the torch kind of thing. It was definitely like, it's your turn to write your story. So, Aiden's crew is once again not taking things seriously. When they get there, Glenn's like, okay, well, we need to do a perimeter sweep. We got to find out. We got to see where the back door is. You know, what if it's blocked? And Weaselface is like, well, if the back door's blocked, we just go out the front. It's like, yeah, you sure do. And then Noah, you notice Noah became real good with weapons. Like that first walker comes up and Noah just pops him right in the head from pretty far away.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I thought that was kind of weird. Like, they didn't show him, like, practicing or anything.
They have a line about target practice.
Oh, they do? Well,
yeah. Him and Glenn are walking, and Glenn's like, yeah, pretty good with that gun. And Noah's like, yeah, well, you know, target practice helps, so I kind of want him to take target practice on Aiden.
I guess they kind of had to. They had to do something.
And then, you know, again, it shows how Aiden's coming along, because Glenn is like, we have to do the perimeter sweep. Weaselface laughs it off, and then Aiden's like, no, Glenn's right.
Yeah.
But now, did you notice when they saw all the walkers behind the gate, Aiden and Weaselface are clearly not used to seeing more than two walkers at a time.
Oh, yeah, they look scared shit.
When they saw that, they froze. They were scared stiff. And I was like, oh, wow, these are the most amount of walkers these two have ever seen.
Because they probably don't go that far for runs.
No, well, they said it was a 50-mile radius around Alexandria that they do.
Yeah, but who knows if they really do that?
Yeah, but, you know, that's not even that far out. And it's not like they're near, like, some main, like, you know, I'm sure D.C. is overrun, but where they are, it's probably pretty quiet.
Yeah, that's true.
But they've never seen a herd before. That's, you know, and here it is. Here's a herd right in front of you, and they were terrified.
Yeah.
And Aiden clearly had no idea how to adapt to situations like the walker with the body armor.
Yeah. He had no clue what to do.
He had no idea what to do. And that's why he shot that grenade, and, you know, he ignored...
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, Glenn was on the total opposite side of the shelving, and he saw the freeze. He's like, wait, like, stop, or whatever, and he knew, and, like, again, like, he didn't listen. You know?
Yeah, and I think that kind of makes Aiden the architect of his own fate.
Yeah, yep.
And then, you know, Weaselface comes back, he's like, oh, he's dead. And then all of a sudden he starts moving, and it's like, did you even check him? Like, I don't think he checked him. I think he just saw him... impaled there and thought he was dead.
Well, yeah, well, just like their mentality, just leave him, just like they do.
Right, but here's my question to you. You see a guy, he is now impaled in several locations on his body.
Two.
Yeah, there's two locations on his body where he is impaled, run completely through. There are zombies coming towards him. He's dead. Do you go back to try to help him, or do you leave?
You asking me what I would do?
Yes,
or
I'm asking
what
you what you would do. I think I know what you would do.
If it was you, I would leave.
I know if it was me, but...
It was leave. If it was... All right, in all seriousness, let's say. I would... I hate to say this, but I'll probably just leave. I'll probably just leave.
That's the thing. I mean, I was like, he's dead.
Yeah, you can't do anything for him.
I think what I would have done, though, before running away, I would have put him out of his misery.
Yeah, true.
I would have popped him in the head so that he could have just died and not come back and not have to suffer through being eaten alive by so many zombies. I mean, if it was not for the what Noah's death looks like later, I would have said this is one of the most brutal deaths thus far in the show.
Yeah, definitely.
It was pretty disgusting.
I mean, freaking Noah is obviously he's awesome with a gun. They should either had him do it or do, like, you know, it'd been kind of cool if Glenn shot him before just for his little hatred, you know, that they had for each other.
Well, you know, Glenn is not so hardened as to leave a guy there. You know, and Glenn said a couple episodes ago, like, we were almost out there too long. This is proof that they weren't, because Glenn doesn't just leave him. He still tries to save him. Even though Tara is laying on the ground bleeding and broken and probably dying, Glenn is just kind of like, well, you know, we got to save this guy. It'll take three of us, but we got to go save him. Weaselface, not so much. He wants to bounce the second he sees it.
Yeah.
But I also wrote down in my notes, like, because I was talking about how, like, they clearly abandoned their team instead of, like, what they had said happened. It's easier to blame a walker and string up a walker to take revenge on than to blame yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what they did. I mean, like, it's clearly their fault, and they were taking, I think, their own guilt out on that walker.
Yeah. Do you think when they get back in the next episode, when they get back to the Alexandria, obviously Deanna's going to know that Aiden died. Do you think that she's going to think that Glenn did it?
I don't know. I think Weaselface is going to blame it on Glenn.
That's kind of exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. But now, the revolving door situation, trapped in the revolving door with the zombies on either side of it, that is such an awesome horror movie moment.
Yeah, that was cool. It reminded me of, like, one of, like, what's the name of that movie? Dawn of the Dead or whatever.
Yes, it was totally Dawn of the Dead. And it was just such an amazing, like, there's no hope, how are we going to get out of this one moment? Because you have the zombies on either side, they're trapped in a revolving door. It's just, it's a no-win situation. Thank God for Eugene. So now, a lot of people were asking, well, why didn't Glenn just shoot the glass? And they do address that. Because Weaselface said, like, they say to Weaselface, is like, we've got the guns here, but you have the ammo.
Yeah, and he didn't give it up.
Well, no, he couldn't get it to them, like, because he was in the opposite side of the door. So he has the ammo.
What if he broke it? Why didn't he break the glass?
No, that's because Glenn had the gun, so Glenn could break it with the butt of the gun. It's just that, what was his name, Nicholas?
Yeah, Nicholas.
Yeah, Nicholas wouldn't hold the door for him to break it. He just panicked and tried to run.
Oh, that's right. He's getting his little foot out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And, I mean, you know what? I guess I should be propping Nicholas up as, like, my hero of the show, because it's his action that directly kills Noah, but I was mad at him. I was so mad at him.
So it was written how the way it's supposed to be written.
It really was. You know what? I say a lot about Noah, and I say a lot about, like, wanting him to die on the show. No, but however, Noah's death was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking.
That was really, really bad.
To be perfectly honest, this is a moment that I thought I wanted so badly, and then when it happened, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, because you probably just wanted him shot and that was it, but he got, like, the zombies are ripping his face off and his mouth and all that.
I would go to say, as far as say, this is the most brutal death in show history.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Could you think of a worse one? Dale got his guts ripped out, but other than that, this was worse than Dale getting his guts ripped out.
Yeah, I think so. Do you know that this is the first time that someone died on Glenn's watch?
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah,
but
it's the first time.
You know, Noah, they had this moment where the zombie grabs him by the leg, and he begs Glenn, he said, please don't let go.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, you know, Glenn doesn't let go, but he gets, you know, because of Nicholas, he gets ripped out of Glenn's hands. And then not only does Glenn now lose his first person on his watch, but he's pressed up against the glass right in front of Glenn, and his face gets ripped in half.
Yeah.
Oh, it was absolutely brutal.
I couldn't, like, believe if I was Glenn and just seeing that happen in front of me like that. Like, what the heck could you do, you know?
And you know what? And this also goes to show that Glenn is just the paragon of good for the group. Because when Nicholas is about to, like, take off in the van and leave Eugene there, Glenn comes in, he punches him in the face. Anyone else on this show, and I mean anyone else, would have killed him.
Oh, yeah, just shot him.
I mean, you know, Carol, Rick, Daryl, they'd have killed him.
Yeah.
No questions asked would have killed him.
Yep.
And honestly, I think Glenn should have killed him.
Well, I don't think there's a reason for Glenn to kill him. I mean, I hate to say that, you know, because I think he feels like, well, they have to kind of keep as many people as they can. Like, I mean, it's unfortunate that this happened, but...
I mean, you know, we talk a lot on the show about, like, oh, was this death so-and-so's fault? Was Tyrese's death or Beth's death Noah's fault? Noah's death is directly Nicholas's fault.
Oh yeah,
he out and out kills him.
Yeah, he was a selfish piece of shit.
But you posted an article on our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/group/walkertalkers, which actually I felt like this is because this episode was so bloody. There was so much death. You had a major character death and a minor character death. The title of the article that you put up was "The Walking Dead would like to remind you no one is safe ever," and I think. It was the perfect time to do a big character death because everybody thought that now that they're in Alexandria, like the whole function of the show has changed and everybody might be safer now. But here we have two big deaths in one episode.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Aiden's not a huge death. He's not really a major character, but he was an important character.
Yeah, no, I think he was too. The only thing I get really, just to kind of tap on this real quick, is I'm getting really tired of like certain websites and everything. I don't know if you've been hearing about this, but a lot of the Walking Dead quote unquote fans are getting upset and saying that the Walking Dead is now racist because they're killing off all of the major or minor black characters.
It's always done that.
I'm getting so sick of it. You guys, stop it. It has nothing to do with the racist. You guys are making it to turn into racism, and it's pathetic. Just cut it out.
Honestly, on this show, it almost feels like black skin is like wearing a red shirt on the Enterprise. No, what will be racist is if in the next episode they get a new black guy.
Yeah.
Because I will say, every time that a black guy has died, they get a new black guy.
Yeah, which I have seen that happen several times.
Yeah, I mean, like, T-Dog died when that prisoner showed up.
Yeah, can't remember his name, but I do know his name.
Yep, and then he died, and they got Tyrese, like, right away, you know? And then, you know, Tyrese goes down, they get Noah.
No, they got Bob.
Oh, they got Bob. Well, no, that was when they were allowed to have two at a time.
Oh, okay.
Bob showed up, they were allowed to have two, because then Bob dies and they get Father Gabriel.
Yes.
And then Tyrese dies and they get Noah.
All right, stop trying to make it like a thing.
I'm just saying. My favorite thing was when Jeff Cheney on our Facebook discussion group, he wrote down in the comments of the episode, "Everybody ate Chris."
That was good. Yeah.
I fell off the chair laughing. So, yeah, this was a bloodbath of an episode. And what do you think about that? Like, they showed that really artsy shot in the van while they're driving back of the book that Reg gave him. It says, "This is the beginning," written on the notebook.
Now, I had two opinions on that. Was he writing that as like an omen for Alexandria, or was it like the beginning of Noah's new life?
I think it was both.
You think it was both?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of feel like it was more of Noah, because, you know, starting a whole new life over because his hometown is demolished and gone, and him kind of starting up something new.
Yeah, but Deanna is also always saying that this is the beginning of a new Alexandria. It's a whole new start for this place, yada, yada, yada. So I think it kind of meant both.
Yeah. I mean, you could look at it like that.
You know, since Definitely. Rick's group has shown up, they're like, Alexandria is all new again. Look what it's going to become. They're expanding the wall now. You know, like, it's a whole big thing. So I think that's what he meant by this is the beginning.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool shot, though. I liked that a lot.
I will say, though, I gotta hand it to the show. I gotta hand it to the show, the writing team and everyone. They took a character that nobody liked, and through the course of one episode, made you care about him to the point where his death hit you.
All right, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did you care?
Did
you really care?
No, I did.
Wow. Did you hear that, everyone? He actually cared about Noah.
I did. I was actually sad to see the death happen. I know, like, I joke a lot about it, like at the beginning of the episode, being like, he's gone. But, like, when it happened, my heart broke. But not even just for Noah, like, for Glenn. I think it's because I care about Glenn so much that that's what hit me, you know?
Yeah, but he deserved it.
Now, here's a question about Noah. They seemed to be kind of going all in on him. You know, everybody knew who he was. They seemed to have a lot of high hopes for him. At Walker Stalker Con, he had that huge, like, queue line area that nobody went to. Do you think that this was a course correction? Or do you think they had always planned for Noah to die here? Like, do you think it was like, wow, nobody likes this character, we got to get rid of him?
No, he actually did say that he knew about it. I think, like, a few episodes ago, he read the plot, so he actually knew about it.
No, but do you think that the writing team planned to kill him at this point in time? Or do you think they were, like, mid-season, they were just like, all right, we gotta course correct, and we got to get rid of him because nobody likes him?
No, I don't think that at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
I kind of thought it was, because it seemed a little, like, I thought we were going to have to deal with him for at least another season.
There's reasons why they had to get rid of him soon.
Because a new black guy's coming?
Yeah, exactly why.
Make way.
Oh, God.
All right, so let's talk about Father Gabriel. Father Gabriel, the lightning rod of hate this week. Everybody is so mad at Father Gabriel right now.
It was actually pretty funny because apparently Seth Gilliam, that plays Father Gabriel, is going to be at the Great Philadelphia Con.
Uh-huh.
And
that's coming up in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, in a few weeks. And I was reading some stuff about it, and, like, people are like, oh, I can't wait to meet him. I'm going to go up and smack him and punch him and have some words with him.
He's
like,
not dude, the one that did it.
He's not the one that did it. It's his character. Calm down.
Yeah, that is like, oh. He plays this infuriating character very well, though.
He does.
So now we see Father Gabriel. He's the first person we see in this episode, and he is tearing up his Bible because I think he's still guilt-ridden over what he did at the church. Then you see the strawberries delivered to him from Rosemary. It says, Dear Father Gabriel, we are blessed to have you here. And I think that is just a nonstop reminder of the parishioners from his previous church that he wouldn't let in and got killed.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. This.
Yep, it was absolutely. And now he's tearing at the book. Now, here's my theory. Remember I said on the Facebook discussion group that I had a theory about Gabriel and why he's talking to Deanna about the group?
Yeah.
The human mind will always try to reconcile guilt. And I think it's a very human thing to try to pass the buck off of yourself onto somebody else. And I think Gabriel, in his mind, is just like, I think it started out as like, I'm bad, I'm evil, I'm like the devil. And then it's like, no, I'm not bad, they're bad. It's them, it's their fault. It can't be my fault, it's got to be their fault. It's like a stage of grief, it's denial.
So he's like, he's finding a way for them to get rid of them for him.
Because everything that happened, and they are the ones that made him face it, I think he has now convinced himself psychologically in his mind that these people are the problem. It's not him. It couldn't possibly be him. He's a child of God. It's these people. It's their fault. It's not my fault. It's their fault.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. I agree with it.
In a second viewing, as you watch him tear the Bible, there's a moment at the very end of it where you can see that thought enter his mind. You see it on his face. It's like, no, it's not me. It's them. He looks up.
It's
to,
like,
yeah, go ahead.
It's just funny because it's like the Alexandria plate people, like, they have the little, I don't know what the things are called, the things that go around their neck, where they have like a fresh stash of them somewhere.
Yeah, because he burned it. He burned it, right?
Yeah, he got rid of his.
There's probably a church in that community.
I guess.
When he talks to Deanna, he says, Satan disguises himself as the angel of light. And the day will come when these people will put their own lives before yours and destroy everyone and everything you've built here. And he says, they don't deserve paradise. Now, the beautiful thing about this is that Maggie hears every word of it.
Yeah, she's down on the steps listening.
Uh-huh. So, and somebody was like, oh, well, like, you know, why doesn't Maggie just come out and confront him? I'm like, and somebody responded, information is power.
Yep.
In this world.
That's what I was going to say.
And now Maggie has got this power. You know damn well Maggie's going to confront him. Or she's going to tell Rick. And Rick will confront him. Or Maggie will just talk to Deanna because they're tight now. But
Yeah, like she might even turn around and be like, oh, don't believe him, and look what we're doing for your place.
Right.
Who the hell is Father Gabriel, and blah,
or
blah,
she just tells Dion, hey, listen to what this guy did to his parishioners.
Yep.
Because he's a coward.
Or how he got them killed a couple times, and when he left the church and all that stuff, he went off on his own.
But I think people were just like, there was kind of like this backlash on the internet of how dare you? Because like these are the people that got you here. These are the people that protected your worthless ass. He would have run out of food in that church eventually, and then they saved him while he was on that rock.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
He'd have died there if it wasn't for these people.
Yep. And now this is how he treats them.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not me. It's them. It's got to be them. My life was fine until these people walked into it. I really think that's where his mind is at.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Now, here's the question I want to ask you. Does Deanna buy into this?
I will say, as an actor, she looked really good. Like, she was sitting there. It looked like she was trying to believe him. But I think deep down inside, she's not going to. Especially when she talks to Maggie and whoever else she might, like, confront about, like, oh, how is this guy? Is he serious? Is he crazy? Like, even though he's a father, what does that mean to me? Who cares? Is he could be a fake father. We don't know.
But that, let's look ahead to next week. Now, Gabriel just said to her, there will come a day when they will put their own lives before yours and everyone else's here and destroy everyone. Now, the very next thing, we heard Glenn screaming for help. So the very next thing Deanna's going to see, her son is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are still alive.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to play right into this. And this season is going to end with a power struggle between Deanna and Rick.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
I foresee that this herd that they encountered is going to keep moving and is eventually going to come to Alexandria.
Which herd? Which one?
The one that ripped Noah apart.
Oh, okay.
Because now they're free. They're going to keep wandering. So I foresee that zombies are going to get into Alexandria. I don't think it's going to destroy Alexandria. I think it's going to kill a hell of a lot of people, and it's going to make them realize, wait a minute, we need this guy in charge because he knows how to deal with these things, and they can get in.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to get overran, but
I don't know if it's overran, but I think people are going to die in the season finale. They have to.
But then what if they do the opposite? When you think about it, what if they try kicking them out? I know that Rick said we're going to take this place over, blah, blah, blah. But what if they see everyone, like their people, the Alexandrian peoples, are dying, and it's because of Rick and the crew? What if she starts believing Peter Gabriel? Peter Gabriel. He did it again.
I'm telling you, I still think that there's something about Rick that attracts the walkers.
Yeah.
Remember like I said it last week? Yeah, and you know what? My wife was actually telling me about an article just tonight about how mosquitoes are attracted to certain blood types.
Yep.
Like, there are certain blood types that they can smell and find, and then those people get bit much more than, like, somebody with a different blood type. And I bet you it's the same for the walkers, and Rick is just one of those people that just attracts them. Because there's no other... Everywhere he goes, there's a herd.
Well, that kind of makes sense, because you think about last week's episode when you see the one zombie just standing behind the wall, and he walks up to it. It's like, how did that zombie know that he was there?
Right.
So you could be right. I mean, he could have been, you know, his scent
just,
or whatever.
I just have a feeling. I think it's going to be like a whole thing with the...
it's all a dream anyway.
Yeah, it's all a dream. Rick's going to wake up in the hospital. Everything will be fine.
Yeah, we should start from season one.
Yeah. All right, anything else you want to say about this episode?
Yeah, I do want to say Daryl's bike was badass.
How
in God's name did they have all those awesome... how do they have those pieces to make such an awesome bike?
Well, apparently the guy that owned Aaron's house before him built motorcycles. That's why they had all the pieces.
What I thought would have been really cool, though, if you saw Aaron have parts of his bike, like he found his bike like over at prison and then semi-built it, and then you see him rolling out with, you know, the big Harley with the big handlebars and everything. That would have been cool.
It was cool to see Daryl on a bike again because, you know, we associated the motorcycle with Daryl for so long.
Yep, and then they went out for their first run.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that's going to go. I hope we encounter them again next week and we see them bringing people back.
Yeah, I know what's going to happen.
Do you? It's a comic book thing?
I have a feeling.
Daryl's not even in the comic book.
It doesn't matter. They switch characters around all the time.
All right. So let's rate this episode for 1 out of 10.
7.
7? I actually would give it a 9. I loved this episode.
Wow.
I thought
even
this
though,
episode
even though
was
your
fantastic.
BFF died?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, ready? Top three, bottom three. You ready?
All right, you go first.
You want to start with bottom or you want to start with top?
Let's start with bottom.
Bottom. All right, your number three.
My number three was the owl statue.
Okay.
It should have been reinforced better, okay?
Seriously, it was definitely a design flaw. It was like the first Death Star. Destroyed way too easily.
Second has to be Gabriel.
Okay.
And number one, Nicholas.
Yeah. My number three is actually a tie. I kind of did a cop-out here. Rick and Carol both are my number three for bottom.
Wow. Week.
I just was not a fan of either of them in this episode. I felt like they're just going down a very slippery slope, and I felt like their arc was so not interesting.
Okay.
You know? Number two was Weasel Face, Nicholas.
Weasel Face.
And my number one was Father Gabriel.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, ready for, what was your top?
My top had to be, I think, top one.
Number three.
Glenn.
Okay, good, strong episode for Glenn.
Yeah, number two was Abraham, just because, again, he took everything by the mother dick and just kept going with
it.
Yes,
he did.
And my top one is my buddy Josh McDermott, Eugene.
Okay, my bottom three. My number three, Abraham, because he mother dick slapped everything in his path this week, and he was a bona fide superhero.
Good.
My number two, Eugene. Very strong episode for Eugene. Very, very excited to see where his arc is going to go. My number one.
What is your number one if that's.
Is Noah.
What?
Yup. My number one this week is my number one top is Noah.
Wow.
I gotta hand it to the kid, man. He pulled out an excellent performance this week. I don't know if just his writing was better, or he just finally got this character a little too late, or what, but he was good this week, man. Like, he brought me on a roller coaster ride this episode.
Now it makes me think that if they kept him, like, let's just say his arm got chopped off, right, and something just like that, if he kept going, if you would still have the same feeling.
You know, I would like to say that I was, like, really super shocked and surprised when, you know, he got ripped apart. But unfortunately, the king of spoilers struck again.
Who, me?
Yes, you. I'm not watching live, and I get a rest in peace Noah text message from Denny. And
all right.
First, I was like, you know what? I bet he said LOL after it, so I'm like, oh, there's no way it happened. But then I went into the episode not thinking that it happened. And then when I saw it happen, I was like, I was still surprised because I thought you were making a joke about something that happened in the episode that I hadn't seen. But then I was like, that mother of pearl. Like,
all right, I'm going to publicly apologize to you.
Uh-huh.
I thought as a Walking Dead fan, you would watch it as it comes out. I keep forgetting that you watched on like Netflix or what.
No. Since we started doing the show, I've watched it live every single night. This Sunday, I just happened to be out. I couldn't get home in time for it. I was working. So I wasn't able to get it.
All right. Well, again, I do apologize. It's I will okay. never, ever do it again.
Just shoot me a text being like, watching live?
Yeah, no, I will.
Okay. All right. So you about ready to get out of here this week? Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, we're good.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for Walker Talkers this week. Thank you so much for joining us. We really enjoyed doing the show, bringing you all the Walking Dead news and reviews every single Friday morning. If we invite you to follow us on social media, you can find the White Dragon Podcast Network on Facebook.com/WD Podcast Network. You can also follow us on Twitter @WhiteDragonPN. And please, folks, join our Facebook discussion group where we are always talking about The Walking Dead all week long. Facebook.com/groups/WalkerTalkersWDPN. That's WalkerTalkersWDPN. Stands for White Dragon Podcast Network. You didn't get that already. So, folks, once again, if you're going to be doing any online shopping, we invite you to first go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com, click the Amazon banner at the top of the page. It'll take you to Amazon.com. It's the same Amazon shopping you always do, only the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage of what you buy. If you're looking to help out the network in a more direct way, you can always go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/sponsor to make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the network, upkeep of the server and website costs. Every little bit is so incredibly appreciated, and all donations will be recognized on the air on Two Men and the Mouse, Mouselineous Discussions of Bat Squad Radio. So, folks, thus ends another episode of Walker Talkers. Denny, any closing words?
Yep. Look out for the next couple episodes. I think we're going to have something big coming up.
As do I. All right, folks, for Dennis Pelicano, I'm Kevin Kessler. We'll see you next week on Walker Talkers. Dead on.
Dead on.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.